Hello, I'm Luke Halpern from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. It's so great to be here today with Marilyn Bullock to discuss hepatitis B awareness and the importance of adult vaccination. It's a timely topic as May is Hepatitis Awareness Month, but there's always no time like the present to review best practices for keeping yourself protected against hepatitis, specifically hepatitis B. So, Marilyn, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. Before we get started, could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, it is great to be here. Thank you for inviting me. As you mentioned, I'm Dr. Marilyn Bullock. I am an associate clinical professor at Auburn University's Harrison College of Pharmacy, and I'm also an adjunct associate professor at the University of Alabama's College of Community Health Sciences and the University of Alabama Birmingham's Hersink School of Medicine. I went to pharmacy school at Rutgers. I grew up in Southwest Virginia, and then I did my general pharmacy practice residency at UAB in Birmingham and a critical care residency at Charleston Area Medical Center in West Virginia. And I have been practicing for a lot longer than I'm going to admit today.
Well, thank you so much, Marilyn. Like I said, it's so good to have you on the show today. So, like I mentioned previously, we're recording this during Hepatitis Awareness Month. So, for pharmacists who may not think of this as a pressing adult health issue, how would you describe the current disease burden and why it deserves more attention than it typically gets?
Oh, that's such a great question, because I think we tend to only reference hepatitis B sometimes when we're thinking about vaccines, and a lot of times that defaults to kids, right? Mm-hmm. But what is really surprising is just how many people worldwide have hepatitis B. You know, worldwide, it's 300 million people are chronically infected with hepatitis B. Now, here in the U.S., it's not quite that many, but it's still 2.4 million people and growing. Now, this is one of those viruses that some people can get and then they clear and they get over it, but some people don't. It sticks around forever, kind of dormant in their body until, surprise, you know, it comes back, not as a necessarily as an infection, but to cause really big issues with the liver, like cirrhosis or cancer. And this is personal to me because I don't know if she'll be mad at me for saying this out loud, but my mother was stuck with a needle that was infected when she was younger, before she got pregnant with me, and contracted hepatitis B. And she was very fortunate to have been one of the few that one of the lucky ones to have cleared that virus. Mm-hmm. And so she does not have chronic infection. But for me, I always think of, well, what if she hadn't have cleared it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely a good inspiration to counsel patients on the importance of getting protected. So like we were discussing, there's a longstanding perception that hepatitis B is a childhood vaccine issue. So where do you think, in your experience, that misconception comes from? And what's the real risk landscape for adults today?
Well, let me back here up here and kind of touch on maybe just the burden of this disease and why we need to care. Up to 40% of people who have chronic hepatitis B, they don't even know it, right? Because sometimes with hepatitis B, the acute infection, you can be asymptomatic, or the symptoms itself can be very nonspecific, and you just think you don't feel good, or you have just a random virus and it goes away, and you do not know that it's still hanging around in your body until years later, when, surprise, you have this, you know, liver issue that appears. And I have known personally people where that has been the case. I think one of the reasons we tend to think of this as a childhood issue is because that universal infant vaccine was introduced in the early 90s. And that was big. It was very, very effective. It produced a 99% decline in acute hepatitis B cases in children, anyone under the age of 19. That was a really effective campaign, but it also gave this sort of false sense of security that hepatitis had been dealt with, kind of like polio. We don't have to think about it anymore. What a lot of people don't realize is that campaign was heavily targeted towards kids. It did not target adults at the time. And as I mentioned, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I was born well before 1991. And so, and a lot of people in their 40s and their 50s now were, they weren't part of that campaign. They may have thought they were, and maybe thought they got that vaccine, and they just didn't. Unfortunately, we know a lot of people think about hepatitis B in terms of risk factors that are very stigmatized, injection drug use, sex with multiple partners, tattoos, piercings, those kind of things. But what a lot of people don't realize is that up to a third of cases of hepatitis B are absent of those traditional risk factors. We don't know how they got it, right? It's really anybody as is at risk. And as of 2023, only about a third of adults over the age of 32 had had at least one dose of any hepatitis B vaccine. That's not a lot. So.
I mean, those data points are definitely super salient, and especially the stigma part of it, because it's not stigma when somebody gets liver disease. Like it's just something that happens because they, got hepatitis B, and it wasn't for one reason or another. They just have no idea. So, and I think it's important also to emphasize that this connection between hepatitis B and liver cancer, because some people may not know the full breadth of the connection, and it often surprises people. So could you walk us through that clinical link and explain why early vaccination, rather than waiting for symptoms, is so critical?
Absolutely. I think it is very important to remember that chronic hepatitis B, once you get over that acute infection, it's asymptomatic. I mean, I think I've said that several times, until that cirrhosis or cancer appears. Even if we are aware that the person has chronic hepatitis B and we give them antiviral therapy, it only reduces the cancer risk by about 50%. And that's only if cirrhosis hasn't already developed. But it is the most chronic cause of liver cancer. 50% of liver cancer worldwide is caused by chronic hepatitis B, about 8% in the US. So there's a big disparity worldwide, but we do see people moving from other countries here, and we have to take that into consideration. There's a multifaceted, I think, pathophysiology that causes this. The first is hepatitis of any type, whether it just means inflammation, right? This one just happens to be caused by a particular virus. Chronic inflammation anywhere is not good, and that's what leads to this cirrhosis, right? But you can also have cancer from what's called a direct viral oncogenesis. What happens here is the hepatitis B virus's DNA integrate into our host genome, and that can trigger carcinogenesis, even when cirrhosis isn't present. And what's interesting here is that's really distinct from hepatitis C, right? Hepatitis C rarely causes liver cancer without some sort of advanced fibrosis or cirrhosis. It's an interesting perspective here. And once you have chronic hepatitis B, your lifetime liver cancer risk is upwards of 25% that we know of. 25%. And that vaccination program that we have shown, even in adults, we talked about how effective it was in children, but in adults, when they've looked at who've have been vaccinated as an adult versus who hasn't, it's been shown to provide a relative risk reduction against liver cancer of 78%. 78. Basically, hepatitis B vaccine was the probably the first cancer preventing vaccine that was ever developed.
Exactly, which is staggering considering all the research that goes into cancer vaccines these days. It's kind of like we already
We
have
have
one
it.
for
We've
that.
had one for decades.
And luckily, the expanded age recommendations of hepatitis B vaccination are allowing more adults to potentially get this protection. So ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, has expanded that recommendation to cover all adults through age 59 with shared decision-making beyond that. So in your experience, is that guidance actually translating to practice? And where do you see the biggest gaps?
Well, let's first take a step back and look at the context of why this shift, this huge paradigm shift in vaccine recommendations was made. For a long time, the recommendation for this vaccine, particularly in adults, was very risk factor based, right? If you had these risk factors, we recommended you get the hepatitis B vaccine. Again, a lot of those risk factors are have a stigma associated with them. People weren't sharing them with their doctor. So if providers were saying, I can't even recommend the vaccine because I don't know that my patient even had these risk factors. The other thing that we have to go back and remember is there's a decent amount of people that have contracted hepatitis B that didn't have those risk factors. We don't know why they got it, but they did. And using that risk factor-based recommendation for the vaccine simply just was not working. We were missing a lot of people. So this landmark shift from that prior risk-based strategy is meant to really, I think, eliminate those barriers that were preventing vaccination in the people who need it, which is really anyone. Anyone can get hepatitis B, and we know that. And so that is, I think, the biggest reason that we're wanting to do that. Now, is that actually translating into to clinical practice? I think there's still a lot of providers out there who still think, and this is true for prescribers and pharmacists, they're still kind of stuck on that risk-based
Yeah,
strategy. You know, like you got
definitely.
to have those risk factors before you really need the vaccine. And I think
But
that's a
in
big,
essence,
big.
that contributes to the stigma as
It
well.
does. It
Like
absolutely
when you're
does.
only working in a siloed list of risk factors, you're kind of limiting not only you're stigmatizing individuals who may not even have hepatitis B, and you're ignoring individuals who don't have those risk factors who do have hepatitis B. So I definitely agree with you at that point, like about expanding the age-based recommendation. It's not about it's more it's about reducing the obstacles to getting individuals protected. So
And if you think about it, we don't do that with other vaccine, with most other vaccines, right?
true.
Influenza and pneumococcal bacteria, they both have risk factors too, right? You have certain patients who are at higher risk for infections from those pathogens, but those are universal vaccines. We recommend everybody get those vaccines, and it should be the same here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I'm sure you know, pharmacists are increasingly becoming a reliable source for receiving your routine vaccinations. And overall, they're often the most accessible healthcare touch point that a patient has. So, what does a strong hepatitis B vaccine conversation look like in a pharmacy setting? And what barriers beyond the stigma portion of it, what barriers do you most commonly see the patient maybe has misconceptions they bring up, or have seen misinformation perhaps? What are some of those patient-specific barriers that you encounter?
The first thing I want to say is I'm really proud of our profession and how we've been able to work with each other and with other healthcare providers to advance our role in immunizations. When I was in pharmacy school, I was not trained to immunize as part of our curriculum. I did do it right before graduation on my own, but I had to go out of the state I went to school in to get that training. It was just not something, it was very in its infancy, if you will. And I heard a speech this week that basically indicated that the majority of adults in the United States prefer to go to a pharmacy to get their vaccines. And I think that really resonates to the trust that the public has in pharmacists for vaccines and immunization advices. So I do think that there needs to be a strong conversation, but it needs to be brief and proactive. And we need to frame it around universal eligibility. Because remember, a lot of people don't even know that they're eligible. They may have thought they got it when they were younger, or because they don't have risk factors, they don't need it, because they don't work at healthcare, that they don't need it. this is where our starting point is, but it needs to be proactive and brief. And instead of asking about risk factors, just simply state it's recommended for all adults through the age of 59. That's important. It eliminates that stigma. It simplifies the conversation. I also think it's good to frame it as cancer prevention. We've talked about that a little bit. Everyone wants to prevent cancer, and it tends to resonate with patient and elevates the importance of vaccination. I would also personally highlight the new two-dose option that makes it a lot more convenient. And we have to address barriers. We do. It's going to be a big thing. We still have vaccine hesitancy and confidence that exists in this country. And we need to develop that trust and be very honest with our patients. Don't hold back. Don't only give the good. You have to have that open and honest conversation, and make sure that we work with patients to make sure things like their insurance will cover it. We don't want to just recommend a vaccine and then surprise you have this huge fee that we're now charging you. They're going to think we just did it to give, to get money or something along those lines. So that's.
And I'm intrigued by the point you made about brevity. How come you are counseling listeners to be brief in their approach with patients?
People have busy lives. Right. They're kind of coming. Some people want you to talk to them, but when we're being proactive, we don't know where that person is headed. Right. They may have come in just to pick something up for someone on their way home to dinner. They might have Little League that they've got to get to. And if we try to give them this very long conversation, we're going to lose them. Right. They're not going to want to pay. So, you need to plant that seed. You might not even get them to be vaccinated that day, but if we're brief and we're effective, we can plant the seed and we can get them back.
Other pharmacists I've spoken to in the past about vaccination have said that a no now is not a no forever, which I think is
Right.
definitely an important pillar when you're counseling patients. And like you just mentioned in your answer, there is a two-dose hepatitis B vaccine option for adults that is available, Heplisav B, which offers a two-dose series rather than the traditional three-dose schedule. So from a clinical standpoint, how does that difference in dosing affect real-world completion rates and ultimately protection?
50% of people who start that three-dose series, which takes about 6 months to complete, never get their third dose. So they're left not fully protected. I think that's a big deal. The two-dose series, because it's only given a month apart, is a lot easier to complete. But if you go longer than a month, that's okay. Right? You can still come back and get that second dose. And we see that about 61% of patients do complete the full series, right? So not as great as we would like, but much better than with the three dose series. I also think it's really interesting. I was looking at protection rates between the two different series, right? And if you complete the two dose series, which you think, oh, it's two doses, it might not be as good. It actually is. Like the protection rates there in adults are between 90 to even, I don't want to say 100% because nothing in healthcare is ever 100%, but it was really good versus the three dose series, which ranges, they say 95%, but it really ranges between 70 and 90%. So the two dose series, not only being more convenient, just seems to be more effective at protecting us. And this is lifelong. Like once you get the hepatitis B vaccine, you're done, right? You never have to revisit that. And we know that because this is a vaccine that has been around almost not quite 40 years, but I mean, we have decades of experience with it. What's also interesting about this protection, especially with that new two-dose series, is when they looked at patients who historically have more trouble mounting a full immune response to vaccines, your older adults, diabetics, even people with chronic liver disease, they responded much better to that two-dose series.
And I think it's a great point to offer to patients when you're counseling them about the similar, if not better, efficacy. Because, like you said, they might think it's a two-dose series. They might ask you a question like, why am I getting two vaccines instead of three when three seems better? On the flip side, many individuals don't, obviously and understandably, don't want to get three vaccines. So in that case, you can use the two dose series to counsel in both directions, which I think is important. And beyond individual patient conversations, what does meaningfully closing the adult immunization gap on hepatitis B require, both systemically or at a policy level? And where do you feel pharmacists have a voice in that?
Yeah, I did a lot of thinking about this and what could be meaningful. And I thought, well, what do we already do in other disease states and other vaccines that are really helpful? And electronic health records, both in the outpatient setting, in the pharmacy setting, in the hospital setting, many of them have these prompts, right? For universal screening. And we add those for things like influenza and pneumococcal vaccines and lots of other, if you had your mammogram, right? This would be a great opportunity to add these automated prompts in adults. I would even say beyond age 59, where that shared decision making should still occur. It's not like you don't need your vaccine just because you're over the age of 59, but to have that conversation so it doesn't slip through the cracks, removes the perception that hepatitis B vaccination is still risk factor based, right? I also think it would be good to do at least a one-time universal Hep B screening in all adults as part of their routine care, right? It can be logged in at your primary care physician, makes a note that they screened, they checked if you were vaccinated or not. Again, removes that sort of perception. I've only got to ask my patient if they've had this, if they have these risk factors. I also think as pharmacists, we need to advocate for insurance coverage for it, like universal
Absolutely.
insurance coverage. The Affordable Care Act did mandate that most insurance policies cover it, but it's not required, I would say, for every single policy out there. And unfortunately, it does. That cost can be a barrier for some of your patients.
No doubt. I mean, cost is a huge barrier for many, and I think it's just important for pharmacists to have obviously the most accessibility to their patients, and they know what they're feeling and what they're experiencing and how they feel about hepatitis B vaccination. So it's important to communicate that across teams, across pharmacies, and just discuss best practices amongst pharmacists, just advocate as a profession for these patients who are wanting to get protected. It's a lot of the times they face barriers like cost, like misinformation, like stigma that prevents them from getting vaccinated. So it's important to collaborate and try to overcome those barriers as a profession. So definitely agree with all of that. So just to almost tie things up in a bow nicely and give you a little scenario. So you're interacting with patients, presenting with various questions and concerns on a daily basis as a pharmacist, often about vaccination. Let's say a patient came to you today and they had never been vaccinated, and they asked you simply, "Do I need this vaccine?" What would you tell them?
The first thing I would do, and I think as a pharmacist, we forget to do this. Sometimes we jump straight to an answer, is to back them up and ask them why they're asking, just so that I make sure that I am fully aware of the context of where they're coming from and what information they really want me to provide them, right? So that way we're not just assuming what they want to know. But if it does turn out they're really debating, do I get it? Do I not get it? Is it something I need? My answer is absolutely. This is a cancer preventing vaccine. And we know that while there are certain people who might be at a little bit higher risk for contracting hepatitis B, we know anybody can catch it. And we know that we don't know why some people catch it. And you may not ever realize you've had it until it's too late. And so the cancer prevention is the biggest key. And it has become a lot more convenient to get with that two-dose series. It's been out for decades. And I think more importantly, because it's been out for decades, we have a long history of safety data and we know that it's relatively well tolerated. And I think that that is a big thing that many people want to understand.
Yeah, that's excellent. Those are great counseling points for all the pharmacists listening to this episode right now. I feel ready to get vaccinated after that talk.
You may have already had it when you were a
Yeah,
child.
that's true. Yeah. So Marilyn, this has been a fantastic conversation. I want to take a moment to thank you again for being here for this informative discussion. Is there anything else that you would like to add or anything that you think I missed about hepatitis B adult vaccination before we finish things up?
I think I would just reiterate that this is a virus. A lot of people think of it, oh, it won't happen to me. It can't happen to me. I don't do this. But my mom, she didn't, I mean, she was in healthcare, so I guess that was her risk factor, but she wasn't doing any of those stigmatized risks, right? And she caught it. I have another family friend who also, not even in healthcare, did not do any of the risk factors, never knew she'd ever had hepatitis B until cirrhosis developed and they were concerned about liver cancer. Thankfully, they did. This person didn't have liver cancer, had not progressed to that point yet. So it can happen to anyone. Anyone. And so if you can just take something that's simple and we know that it's safe, we have that decades of data that it's safe to prevent that cancer, I absolutely would not lose sight of how important that is.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better myself. This was an excellent conversation, Marilyn. I really learned a lot, and I'm sure the audience did as well, about hepatitis B vaccination and the importance of it, not only in May, which is Hepatitis Awareness Month, and I actually believe there's a specific day of this month dedicated to screening for hepatitis specifically, which is also a good thing to note just for awareness. But beyond May, beyond any given year, it's always important to be protected and up to date with your hepatitis B vaccination. Thank you so much, Marilyn. I really appreciate the time. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Pharmacy Focus. We will see you all in the next one. Thanks again.